You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 of our sermon series, Back to the Basics, the Fundamentals of Faith. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Jonathan Maley with today's message.
Well, what's up, Midcurrent? How are we doing this morning? Good. Wow, it's great to see you all. A little nerve-wracking. This is a full house. So glad to be here. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the associate pastor here. And this morning, I want to start off with a story. And I just want to also just give a little preface is that we're going to talk a little bit about football just for the beginning piece. So if you are not a football fan, you can check out, go on Facebook, but I promise you this will not be the entire part of the message. But do we have any football fans in the house right now? Yes, Vikings fans? Okay. Packers fans? Okay, that's Vikings fans? There we go. We'll end on a good note. So a number of years ago, my wife and I, we had a good friend of ours, her name was Jess, that rented our basement. Now, there's something very great about Jess is not only was she a good person, but she worked for the greatest sports organization of all time. She worked for the Minnesota Vikings. And thank you. And with that came opportunities. Opportunities to go to football games and some other really cool things. And one day, Jess came home, and in her hands was some really cool things. She brought these pictures that came from the old training facility in Mankato. There it is. Yeah, the old training facility in Mankato. These used to hang on the wall where all of the great Vikings players would pass us. We had a picture of Bud Grant. We had a picture of Chris Carter. And then there was a picture that looked just like this of the Purple People Eaters. Does anybody know the Purple People Eaters? Okay, five of you. The greatest defensive line in history. And out of that group, and it was signed, it's amazing, in that group was a man named Jim Marshall. Anybody know Jim Marshall? Jim Marshall was a stud. Jim Marshall was known as Pro Football's Iron Man. He played 19 seasons and still carries the record of the most consecutive games played of 282 games in a row. And he actually has the most games to be ever played by a single defensive player. He had it in totality until of a guy named Brett Favre decided to take a record while he was a Minnesota Viking, mind you. Ha ha, busted. Jim Marshall was the man. He loved football. He knew everything about football. And as much of a stud as Jim Marshall was, Jim Marshall also held the honors of one of the worst plays in football history. And actually, take a look at this.
Lucky. Now stops, throws, completes it to Kilmer up at the 30-yard line. Kilmer driving for the first down, loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way. Marshall is running the wrong way. And he's running it into the end zone the wrong way. Thinks he scored a touchdown. He scored a safety. His teammates were running along the far side of the field, Russ, trying to tell him, go back.
This moment gave Jim Marshall the nickname Wrong Way Marshall that he carried the rest of his life. And here's what I think we can learn from Jim Marshall. Not only that, yes, he played for a great team, but also sometimes even the best of the best get things wrong. Sometimes even those who knows what is right still get things wrong, and sometimes it can come with significant consequences. For Jim, it just you know, impacted the game. And yes, he got a nickname, but for us, sometimes it can come with consequences in our lives or even in our spiritual lives. Today, we are in week three of our series called Back to the Basics. And we've designed this series off of a famous speech from, yes, a Green Bay Packers head coach, Vince Lombardi, who he gave after losing in 1961 in the NFL championship, when they went back to training week one, he started with this famous speech where he looks at the team and he says, "This is a football." And to the surprise of the organization and the team, they thought, hey, we almost won the championship. We're going to come back. We're going to look at some more unique plays and some interesting strategies. But Vince Lombardi says, no, we're going to go back to the very basics so that we can win. And here's something that I think we need to do as the Large C Church, not just Mid-Current, but just church in a very broad sense, is I believe that we need to have a moment where we go back to the basics, where we say, this is the football. This is what we are as a church. This is what we are all about. And the reason is because I don't think, especially in America, around the world, yes, but in America right now, we are not winning the way we should be winning as a church. Churches are shutting their doors in record numbers. Denominations have infighting. The church is often now known more what they're against than what they are for. And yet I believe our world needs the church. Why? I think in the most simple of answers, it's because the church is the primary vehicle in which Jesus brings hope to this world. And we need to start winning again. And to start winning, I don't think we need elaborate strategies. I think we need the moment of going back to the basics of knowing what we're all about. Today, I'm going to talk about something I think many of us Christians know about, but I think like Jim Marshall, we accidentally go the wrong way. And what we're talking about today is the church. Specifically, we're gonna break down what is the church? What is the church really? Why does the church matter? What is the point of this all? And maybe you're here and you're skeptical of the church. Maybe somebody like dragged you to church, or maybe you're here and you've got pain that it was caused underneath the name of the church. And regardless of where you're at, whether you're skeptical or you're here a little bit against your will, I say, regardless of where you're at, we're so glad you're here. And I just hope that we could all have an open mind as we discover what should the church really be and what should the church really be about. And this morning, I want to start off with what I would say specifically to the American church is I think one of the, maybe not the only, but one of the biggest problems that I'm seeing in the church. Now, this has come after evaluation. I've had the opportunity to work at a number of different churches, from very small churches to mega churches and everything in between. And I would say all of the churches that I've worked at have been great churches. Really great churches, great people, great missions that did great things. But something I noticed was that every church I've been at so far, and I can't make this judgment of Mid-Current yet, I'm still knowing you guys, but everywhere I have been is there was an abundance of an attitude of American consumerism. It's really common from my experience for people. And when I say people, I want to be very clear. I am including myself. That when it comes to the church, we often will go to church and we have a very specific criteria of what we're looking for. We want the church to be welcoming, but not too welcoming. Not too overbearing. We want the songs to be our flavor of songs and at the volume we like. We want the songs to be known, but not the same songs each week, because we also want new songs, but not too many new songs. You know, we want fresh songs, not necessarily new songs, but we also want new songs. And then when the pastor comes out, we want a passionate message that's not too in your face, that's relevant to our lives, that is deep yet simple. And then we also want it challenging, but not pushy. Oh, and we want the pastor to be funny, that moves us emotionally, to be spurred into action, but done in a timely manner, you know, roughly 25 minutes or less, because we have a busy life, if you know what I'm saying. And then we get into the car and we head home, and either in the car or at lunch, we talk about, so what did you think of church? And we say, here's two things that went well. And we go, gosh, I wish that message made more sense, or I wish that that song was sung in a different key. I can't sing that kind of song, so why do they play those songs? And then we feel good about ourselves and we move along our week. Maybe I've done, is anybody else done that? Just me? And then also there's sometimes things will be said, sometimes the actual content or said in a certain way that we don't agree with, or something wasn't said that we thought should be said, and we easily pack our bags and we head to another church. Again, this is just my observation. This is no judgment to all of you today. The problem is I think easily within this consumeristic culture that we have, which I'm not, I love America, I love our culture. I do think this consumerism though can be a problem when it comes to the church, because sometimes when it comes to attending church, we think that church is all about me. And I'm sorry to tell you today, but that's not what the church is about. And sometimes I think we can make the church not just about me, but we'll make church about a specific style. Or we make church about a certain pastor, and we sometimes will elevate then that pastor to this really high place in life, and inevitably they'll say something like I can tell you this, I disappoint myself, so I know that I'll disappoint you at some times. I'll put my foot in the mouth and go, John, why did you say that? Why did you, you know, whatever. And ultimately, I think when we do these things, it's like we're taking the ball and we're running towards the wrong end zone. When we have this mentality that church is about me, or church is about a pastor, or church is about a specific style of worship, we're taking the ball and we're going the wrong way. And inevitably, when we do this, you'll eventually find yourself disillusioned, disappointed, or disheartened by the church. Now, caveat. I am not saying this means that we should just go and attend some boring churches with people that we don't resonate with. There is like this fine line of finding a church that you do resonate, but it's not just about what am I getting out of it, but also what can I be a part of? And so today I want to bring some clarity. Okay, then what is the church really about? And to understand this, I think we have to understand what the meaning of church is and how it's often been misunderstood. You see, the term church is a derivative of a German term, and I'm going to probably pronounce it a little off, but it's Kirche. And this meaning is house of the Lord or temple. And this term of German origin was used to interpret rather than translate the Greek term ekklesia. And the problem is that when we translated from the Greek to the English, there were appropriate times to interpret the word as the Kirche, like the house of the Lord, but we made it a broad understanding where we started inserting church in spots it should not have been inserted. while we should have taken the word ecclesia and did a direct translation. You see, the direct translation of ecclesia is this. It's the gathering or assembly of God's people. Actually, ecclesia was a normal Greek term that was often just used as the gathering of people. If you want to understand what is the church really, well, if you look at the early church, it was the gathering of people who were committed to following Jesus, so much so that the early church had this reputation, they had a nickname called the followers of the way, which meant that they were followers of the way of Jesus. And this small movement turned into something extraordinary that changed cities, that impacted cultures by the way that they loved one another, the way that they sharpened each other. It was a church community who stepped up for the needs of the communities that they lived in. You see, the ecclesia, the church, the gathering is not a building. The church is not a building. The church is not a pastor. The church, as much as I'd love to say, is not a great sermon. The church is not a bunch of songs. The church is not a denomination. If the simple definition that I gave a church, and maybe it's overly simplified, is this: the church is a gathering of people whose aim is to become more like Jesus, with a key word, together. People who just strive to live a life honoring to God on a daily basis. People who strive to love their neighbor as themselves. People who are filled with love and compassion and integrity, committed to the denial of themselves, to name a few. But we do this together. And it speaks to a need that's very core to how God designed us. You see, if we go back to the basics, what you and I need to understand, what I need to understand, is we are not made to do life alone. It is not good for us to be alone. And I'm speaking as an introvert. Lives don't thrive in isolation, and our spiritual lives don't thrive in isolation. If we were to open up the Bible and just start going through, what we would find in the very beginning, starting in Genesis chapter 2, is a very substantial theme. And the theme is this: we are made to have a relationship with God. And in Genesis 2, we see that God looks at Adam and he says, it is not good for man to be alone. Isn't that an interesting statement? Because Adam has a relationship with God. Why would God look at Adam and say it's not good for him to be alone? Because we're not just made to have a relationship with God, we're made to have a relationship with each other. And if you start studying the Old Testament, you see God does amazing thing through people that's often done in community. It's often done with others. Or we could stop at a passage in Ecclesiastes, where the wise King Solomon, this is often a wedding passage. In Ecclesiastes, he says this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This passage is not really just about marriage. It's more about companionship and our need to do life with each other. And right now, we need each other, I would say, more than ever. The studies of what's happening right now in our world are very alarming. In a world where we're more connected than ever. We're finding that the quality of our relationships are more of a disaster than ever. Some stats that I found is this: 60% of people, 60%, over half, say they don't have more than 4 close friends. 8% say that they have no close friends at all. Think about that. That's almost 1 in 10. That means in this room, probably 15 people in this room would say, I don't have any close friends at all. 52% of Americans report to be lonely. 47% report that their relationships are not meaningful. 58% of Americans reported that they sometimes or always feel that no one knows them well. And we don't see this going in the right direction. When we study millennials, 73% are saying they're lonely. In a TED talk that I heard somebody talking about, they referenced, it was a study of addiction, it was a study of connection. And in that TED talk, they talked about the study of rats. And the study was, there's two dishes of water. One dish of water was laced with drugs and the other water was normal and good. What they found was that the rat left alone would find itself going to the water laced with drugs, getting addicted to the point that it would die. But if the rat was given some rat friends and some toys, what they would find is that the rat would go to the healthy water, would maybe taste the water that's laced with drugs, but would ultimately go back to what was good, and not a single rat died. And no, I am not saying that we are rats, but I am saying that I do think that there's a similarity. There's a man who studied this named Johann Hari, who says this. He's got a famous statement: the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's human connection. You and I are designed to have rich, meaningful relationships, to do life together. And as we continue into the New Testament, we see that Jesus had relationships, close relationships. We see that Jesus had a habit of going to the synagogue. And as we see the church launch, one of the first things we see in the book of Acts, which is like the account of the early church, it says this: all the believers, what's the word? Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, so to scripture, and to fellowship and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. There were people, this gathering, they were devoted to one another, to the teachings and to fellowship and to sharing of meals. The church, the ecclesia, is the gathering of people whose aim is to be more like Jesus, with the key word, together. We are the church. Us. And this room is filled with people who have their own stories of struggle, brokenness, sadness, victory, joy. We are a group of imperfect people who are trying to be more like Jesus together. And to go one layer deeper, in John 1:12, it says this: but all who believed in him, Jesus, and accepted Jesus, him, he gave the right to become children of God. Therefore, when you and I decide to follow Jesus, we are adopted into God's family, which makes you a son or a daughter of God, which makes us a spiritual family. That makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And just like any family, there's going to be times that parts of the family will drive you crazy. There's going to be times that parts of the family will offend you or do something where you feel left out. But as a family, families don't just healthy families don't just move on when there's tension. families don't just avoid conflict, healthy families don't, but we decide we're going to keep together, which is why I believe Paul said this in Colossians. He says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make an allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, we're called to live in peace and always be thankful. What if this was the image the church gave to the world? What if the image the church gave to the world is that we are a people that stick together, that we love one another, we encourage one another. When somebody gets knocked down, we show up. When somebody is in pain and in loss, we are the ones that are there to help pick them up and carry on through their day. We are the church. Imperfect, yes. And when but when healthy and focused on the right thing, it is a beautiful and powerful thing. Church, let me be clear, is not about attendance. It's about participation in the family. Probably one of the best examples of this, of what I would say is the church, is something that I saw within MC Youth a couple weeks ago. I love MC Youth, just gonna say that. I'm biased. It's our youth ministry here. And two Wednesdays ago, we had an opportunity to pray. And we took a chair and we placed it right up here and said, hey, this is gonna be really uncomfortable, but if there's anybody who's here that would like prayer, just go ahead and sit in this seat and we'll have an opportunity to pray for you as Anna sings some songs. I had no idea how this was gonna go, by the way. This could be a train wreck, right? And I sit down, kind of nervous, going, oh boy, how's this gonna go? And one of our amazing high schoolers, he comes and sits into the chair and he looks at me and I said, hey man, what do you want prayer for? And he described a medical condition that he had been dealing with his entire life. I said, okay, do you want me to share that with everybody else or do you just wanna say it's a medical condition? He said, no, tell the details. I said, hey, this young man would like prayer for what he's been dealing with his entire life. He puts his head down, and all of a sudden there was sincere prayer after sincere prayer from his peers, one after the other. And when he opened his eyes, this is what he saw. The entire youth ministry got on their knees and surrounded him. And then we start singing songs as a family, which was incredible, shoulder to shoulder, to say, if you're in pain, I'm with you. If you need prayer, I've got you. Next thing you know, we're praying for a young lady. Say, hey, what's your prayer request? She goes, I'm dealing with sadness because I lost my dad 3 years ago. And again, she bows her head and sincere prayer after sincere prayer after sincere prayer takes place. Showing the love that we are the church. That is what the church looks like. The church also looks like a bunch of guys going together, playing some football, and gathering together, sitting here to learn what does it mean to be a man of God and what is it to be a man of integrity. Or the women's ministry that often meets, and we have a meeting coming up March 3rd, just a quick plug. To help each other become more and more like Jesus as we are a family. The church is for the people who are hurting. The church is for the people that are needing. The church are the people that, after you have a kid like myself, all of a sudden they show up with the most incredible meals. That was incredible. And yes, is the church imperfect? You've got to believe it. But when done well, the church can make a big difference in your life and in the lives of this community, which is why I believe the author of Hebrews says this: let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Notice that the focus is not on who. It's not on me. It's how do we do this for one another? We're made for one another, and that's what the church is about. So what does this look like? What does it look like for a church like this to become a close-knit gathering, a community of people? Well, here's what I would say. The first thing I would love to challenge you to at least consider, there is no guilt in this, by the way, but I would encourage you to make a commitment to not just be an attender of a church once or twice a month, but to become a participant in the local body of a church. And obviously, I would love for that to be Mid-Current, but I would say find a church. Again, I would love for that to be Mid-Current, but find a church that you decide we're gonna commit to being a part of this place. Second thing, again, this is my opinion, but I would make weekends, Sunday mornings, a sacred commitment where it rains, sleet, or snow, I'm going. And I understand the tensions of when it does, when you don't feel like it, or you're trying to get the kids out of the house when they have their little coats and little shoes and sometimes big attitudes. I get it. But let's not neglect meeting together, because it's not just for ourselves, but it's for each other. And it's also communicating something to this next generation that when we make it a priority to be here, we're telling the world that God is number one and that this community is important. The third thing is I would say get involved, serving, giving, small groups. There will be a new season coming up. Women's ministry. Ladies, and anybody in the house? Yes, yeah, right. March 3rd, there's one coming soon. And men, there's also one coming soon. I don't have the date yet, but get involved. The other one is I would just say, don't stop. I've always been told it takes about 3 years for a place to become like home, and that's with intentionality. Sometimes we show up, we're like, I just don't feel like I fit in. I just want to tell you, it takes the awkward work and the awkward conversations that will turn, eventually, if you keep showing up, it will turn into rich and meaningful relationships. This gathering we call the church is far bigger than you and me and my preferences and your preferences. This thing that we call the church is about Jesus and each other, helping each other worship Jesus and to become more like Jesus, striving to make a difference in this world. And as I close, I think one of the coolest things ever is for someday in the future, if you were to have a picture hanging on the wall and your grandkids or your great-grandkids look at you and say, who are those people? You said, purple people eaters. No, I'm saying, what I would love is that if you had a picture of a small group, or if you had a picture of those that you decided today that I'm going to be committed to developing rich and real, meaningful relationships that walks through life with others, that when they experience loss, I'm there. When they experience joy, I'm there. When they decide to go off the rails, unfortunately, I'm gonna be there. That over the years, you can say, you know, I was at this place, a little place we called Mid-Current. And as we grew, I developed the most meaningful relationships of people that did life together, that helped me become more like Jesus, that helped me and challenged me to make a difference in this world. And then you could say, and I'm still going, because Mid-Current's not gonna end. You know, that's what I would love for you, is to have that kind of community. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you so much. for today, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about what you love, which is your church. He says, the bride of Christ. God, help us when we are taking our understanding of the church and running in the wrong direction. Help us to know that we are the church, an imperfect family trying to be more like you and to make a difference for you in this world. God, we do ask that rich and real meaningful relationships will continue to develop in this place. And I pray that everybody would find their spot. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m.